him up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see everyone here tonight, and it's a real pleasure. I think it's a great responsibility, and I feel real honored that Pastor would give some of us guys a chance to just say what's been on our hearts. And the thing that's been on my heart recently is Pastor's messages on Wednesday night going through the book of Genesis. And I've been challenged by his Wednesday night studies. I think they've been terrific. And it's really gotten me think about doing something tonight and next Wednesday night, be 2 weeks, so it's a kind of a one and two parter, about America. We talked about Israel, first 12 chapters of Genesis, and with the July 4th weekend just passed, I thought I'd do something on America. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been asked sometimes questions, is America in Bible prophecy? I don't know if you know if they are or not, or if you even care, or as what's going to happen to America? What's the future of America? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, I hope you pay attention to that verse that we just read about, because it talks about Israel, that Israel is picked above all nations. That's God's nation, is Israel. Now, if I asked you what's the greatest nation in the world, you would probably say America. Well, it is. But it's not the greatest nation in God's eyes. Israel is. Now, I'm going to talk about America. I want you to know that I am an American. I'm an American patriot. And I'm a veteran as well. I love America. I think we should do everything I can to get people to be American. You know what I mean? But I'm an American. So tonight's not going to be a very positive message. But it could be. I just want to put that out for a minute. So let's start off with Jeremiah. In one hand, go to Jeremiah 18, and on the other, Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 18. And when you get there, look at verse 7. Now, this is about Israel. Verse 6 talks about the house of Israel. But verse 7, God starts and he says, at what instant I shall speak. The idea there is anytime I announce or anytime I speak concerning a nation, could be any nation, not just Israel. Anytime I speak, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto it. In verse 9, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. Verse 10, key verse. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. As you probably know now, you read your Bible, you know that the Old Testament deals primarily with nations, and the New Testament deals primarily with individuals. Now, if you look at this verse, Jeremiah 18, tells us how the Lord deals with nations that live like the devil. And he's saying that he's going to change his mind. Look at that verse 10. He's going to change his mind to bless it. If they don't do what he says and does evil in their sight, in his sight, rather. He's going to change his mind about blessing a nation if they don't follow God and listen to what God says. Now, come back to Jeremiah 9. In other words, God's not going to put up with any nation who's been living like America has for the past, say, 70 years. That's what he's saying in Jeremiah 18. Now, Jeremiah 9 and verse 9. Jeremiah 9, verse 9. God speaking through Jeremiah says, shall I not visit them? Visit has the idea of chastisement, discipline, punishment. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? In other words, he's saying, listen, if you were me, would you put up with a nation that I have blessed over and over again and is now living like the devil? Now, Jeremiah 10, it says that God Almighty is King of nations. And he gives us example after example in the Old Testament of how he deals with nations. And he tells us how he deals with Persia and Philistia, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Israel, and on and on and on it goes. It's all about nations. Well, America's a nation. Well, how's God going to deal with America? What's he going to do with it? All right, you're in Jeremiah. Turn back one book to Isaiah, and we'll get God's view of what he thinks about the nations. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a what? A drop of a bucket. That's why I got my bucket up here. Here's a bucket. If I put a drop of water in there, what's the significance? No significance. A drop of water in a bucket it's not a big deal. That's what God thinks of the nations. And he says, what else does he say about it? Nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. You get some kind of scales, and he thinks that nations are just like the dust on the scale. But look at verse 17, Isaiah 40, verse 17. All nations, you got that? All nations before me are as nothing, but worse than that, finish the verse, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. So America, it's got to be one of the all nations in that verse, isn't it? All nations. In his estimation, doesn't even amount to zero. In fact, it's less than zero. It's on the minus side. In the light, in view of eternity, that's what God thinks of nations. That's not all, though. Come ahead four books to Daniel. In chapter 4, verse 35. Daniel 4:35. It says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he, meaning God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God is sovereign. He does what he does because he can. He's God. Now, you know, any nation can know what their future is simply by reading the book that the Supreme Court threw out of the public school in 1963. But who reads this anymore? You see what happens when our nation first got formed. We have a bunch of people who think they know more than God and are wiser than God. And so it says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In fact, in Isaiah 5, it says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And that's what's happening today, isn't it? And Jeremiah 4 says, they are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. There are people in this country, folks, probably more than we like to admit, who are going just the opposite of what God tells us in this book. So that's what's going on. Now, the next thing we have to know about the future of this country is that all the future of history is fixed and certain. All the future of history, that means all the future of America is fixed and certain. Now, the Bible is divided into periods of time in which God works with men in different ways. That period of time in theology is called dispensations. Anybody ever heard of dispensations? Dispensations. I am a dispensationalist. In other words, I believe that God works in different times. He worked differently when Adam and Eve were here. He worked differently in the Old Testament. He works differently in the New Testament. He's going to work differently when the rapture happens. He's going to work differently in the tribulation, in the millennium, and in eternity. Those are all dispensations. You say, what's the big deal? One thing to note about all these dispensations, they all end the same way. In apostasy and degeneration. Every single one of them. You look at all the generations, all the dispensations that we've had so far, right up to the following point. They start out good. They start out like a ball of fire. They all end bad. And this one's no exception. What's this age called, or this dispensation called? Church age, right? Or the age of grace. We call it the age of grace. It's an age. It's a dispensation. Some people call that the apostasy and degeneration. It's the law of human collapse. So in the Bible, you know what happens? Adam and Eve, God creates Adam and Eve in a perfect environment, an ideal state. They have all the animals as their friends, the only two in the world. Adam used to look at Eve and say, Eve, you're the only one in the world for me. No competition. They didn't have to worry about food or where a place to live or clothes or sickness or anything like that. Perfect environment. That's why it's called paradise. Well, you know what happened? They sinned. God clothed them, threw them out of the garden. And they had kids. And those kids started to develop civilizations. And what happened? Genesis 6, like Pastor went through it, he said the angels of heaven came down, sons of God. They came down from outer space and corrupt the whole world except for a handful of people. And so it says the whole world was only evil continually, and God had to destroy it. It repented. And remember that? We read that last week, that he had made man upon the earth. And he sends Noah with the flood. Wipes out everybody except for 8 people. Starts a new world. Wow, a brand new world. We're going to do good now, right? What happens? Noah's great-grandson, Nimrod, thinks he knows better than God. He's smarter than God. He wants to build a tower up to heaven. And God has to intervene and wipes out the tower and scatters everybody all over the face of the earth. And on it goes. Abraham is called out of Ur of the Chaldees to start a new nation with a new group of people. But what happens to him? He lies about his wife. He has a son, Isaac. He does the same thing. Jacob follows Isaac, and he lies to get the blessing. Then he has 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph is the man, but all his brothers hate him, and they send him on to Egypt as a slave. And the Israelites build a golden calf, even as God has given the Ten Commandments to Israel. Folks, man is a failure. You have to admit that. We can't stick our heads in the sand and say we're basically good. We're not. We are basically bad. Why? Because we're born with what? An old sin nature. And the problem hasn't stopped, and it won't stop until Christ comes back again. We've had the same problem of sin and corruption since Adam and Eve, and it's 6,000, 7,000 years. It hasn't gotten any better. Listen, man is not going to solve the world's problems. There's been fighting since day one. There's fighting now, and there's fighting until the Lord comes back. Man can't solve that either. They've had 6,000 years to try it. They haven't done it yet. Why? Because man is born with the wrong nature. He was born wrong the first time. That's why he needs to be born again. Born wrong the first time. They're not going to solve anything. It's a spiritual problem. The only way this world's going to be solved, the problems of this world's going to be solved, is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and sets up a new kingdom. So every dispensation, we said, ends in apostasy. And you know the Old Testament, Israel gets trouble after trouble after trouble. So God sends in the judges, and he sends in kings who are worse than the people. And they keep going downhill and downhill and downhill. And finally the Lord says, look, I'm going to send in Nebuchadnezzar, the Gentile king, and take you into captivity. So they're there how many years? How long are they in captivity? 70 years. After 70 years, the Lord puts them back in the land, sends them back in the land through Nehemiah. Rebuilds the walls, remember? And he sends them back there. But now we're going to do it now. We're going to be okay now. The Jews get so cold-hearted and indifferent through the years that God shuts his mouth for 400 years. Doesn't speak to them again anymore. New Testament comes along. Sends his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens to him? They crucify him. Jews rejected him. As a few converts, the book of Acts comes. What's in the book of Acts? The gospel of the grace of God. That's our gospel. Wow, the gospel is happening. How about it, Jews? No, we reject that too. And we reject all your preachers too, by the way. But thank God the gospel gets through, the church starts. The body of Christ starts in the book of Acts. Paul, the apostle, comes. The apostle to the Gentiles, that's us. And the gospel is going through, a tremendous start for the new church. Thousands are being saved. What happens? Through the years. Downhill, downhill, downhill to where we are today. Apostasy and degeneration. You couldn't pick out a Christian church today if you stayed up all night with a flashlight. Churches like this one are so rare you wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe. You better thank God you're in this church. I mean it. I've been to churches, some of these churches. Degeneration's going down all the time, and pretty soon this world's going to end up being ruled by the Antichrist in the tribulation. Bill, I forgot to look at the time. How much time have I got? 5 minutes. Okay, thanks. Now, no leader can avoid what God has planned for the nations, no matter how good his intentions. There have been some great leaders. I think of Ronald Reagan. I think Ronald Reagan was a great, great president. I think Donald Trump is an exceptional. I think he's a guy that God has picked for this time. And I think Donald Trump has given us a reprieve. God sent Donald Trump to give this nation a reprieve. Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton got in? You know, I can't speak this way to everybody in churches. Sometimes when I go fill some pulpits, you got to be very low key. This one, you can blur it all out, you know. Thank God. But you can imagine what this country would be like with Hillary Clinton. But I think he does send some leaders. Every once in a while, you might get someone in office who wants to do right by the country. But that's only postponing the inevitable. Now, that doesn't mean we should give in and let the whole country go to hell. I'm not talking about that. We have a responsibility as American Christians to try to win men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ while there's still time left. That's why we're here. And we should be the Americans that we should be. Stick up for our country. We have two titles. We have two roles. But you're not going to turn this nation around, no matter what we do. This nation is going to be part of a one-world global system run by Satan someday. Listen, do you realize that not even the reign of Jesus Christ himself can turn around human nature? Who rules in the millennium? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting right there. You can see him. He's going to be in Jerusalem for the thousand-year period in the millennium. Where's Satan? Satan is in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's not even around. But after the 1,000 years, what happens? Satan is let loose, and he's roaming the world trying to get people against Christ. Does he do it? Yeah, he gets so many that Revelation 20, verse 8 says their numbers are described as the sand of the sea. That's how many he gets to turn against God. And God has to send fire down there and burn them all out. Right in Revelation there. One more thing before we close. We'll pick up next time, next week. The next thing we need to learn about the future of the nation is that before God wipes out a country, he always gives its people plenty of warning before he does it. You know what this book is? There's something different, very different about this book that distinguishes it from every other religious book. Now, we call it a religious book, and it's maybe a tad so, but I think it's more of a history book. This Bible gives the history in the past, but it also gives history before it takes place. Those are called prophecies. You read the Old Testament about all the nations. Before God wipes them out, he always gave them a warning. You think of Sodom and Gomorrah. You think of the Adam and Eve before they left the garden. What's going to happen? And every time, time after time after time, he gives them warning. Did you know that Jesus Christ himself had, there were 48 specific prophecies about his first coming, anywhere from 1,500 to 400 years before he shows up? And everyone came through on the money. 48 specific prophecies. So we have a history book that shows me, or shows us, exactly what happens to a nation that lives like America does. I'm going to stop there. I don't get discouraged. There's an answer. That's for next week. I just want to read. Did you see the paper yesterday in the this ad? You see this ad put out by Hobby Lobby? Talks about God bless America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I almost flipped when I saw this. Wow, somebody's got enough guts to put this ad, a whole page ad in the OD yesterday. And it says in the bottom here, if you would like to know Jesus as Christ as your Lord and Savior, visit him. You need to visit him in ministry at www.such-and-such-and-such. But the thing that gets me here, he's got quotes from the presidents, Supreme Court justices, Supreme Court rulings, founding fathers, Congress, education, and foreign opinion. He's got a quote from George Washington, John Adams, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams. Supreme Court justices, he's got it from John Jay, the first Chief Justice. He's got it from James Wilson, original justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. And he's got it about the founding fathers, Jedediah Morse, Patrick Henry, Benjamin Franklin. Everybody knows those names, right? Supreme Court rulings, 1892, these are all from 1892, one is from 1844. Congress, this is the Senate Judiciary Committee report, January 19, 1853. Another one from 1854. Education, Harvard, 1636 student guidelines. I can't read them all because they're just, and one from Yale in 1787. Foreign opinion, one in 1831, 1832. Why do I quote those? Because they're all in the first 100 years of our history. First 100 years, where are all the quotes in the last two, in the last 150 years from anybody? Not a quote from anyone in the last 150 years. Apostasy and degeneration. Let's close. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this, for the opportunity, Lord, you've given us to see a little bit more about America. Started out as a great country. Great people, great country, Father. We had you in our schools. We had you in our mouth, Father, in our thinking, in our churches. What happened? And, Father, we know there's a solution. We thank you for our Savior, Lord, who went to a cross and died for not only Americans, but for everybody. And we need to get the message out on a daily basis. I can reach people that other people can't reach, and these dear people can reach people other people can't reach. Help us to do something about that as we continue on now. In Christ's name, amen.